Thrive Talk.
Real candid conversations about what it takes to live, work, and play on your own
Thrive Talk.
I literally jump for joy to both inspire and energize you to act on your own creative endeavors. Together, let's have a blast and
Thrive Talk.
Thrive Talk.
Thrive Talk.
I just love Thrive Talk.
If you hear thuds, thumps, bumps, lumps, it's because we've got two little dogs. Yeah.
Well, one big dog.
One big dog, one little dog.
One little dog that thinks she's a big dog.
It's all about what you have in your mind's eye, right?
It's all about perception, you're right.
It's all about how you perceive the world. And she's just really projecting all your tools to success, right?
Absolutely.
She's just manifesting all your... See, dogs resemble their owners.
They do. She is chi. She is the life force.
Okay. Well, so Miss Oaken.
Yeah.
Where the hell are you from?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. I am from, I'm from the Midwest, but I spent my like influential young years in Houston, Texas, and then moved back to the Midwest, and I went to high school and college in Indiana, Ball State. So technically Houston and Indiana.
And how and when did you end up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana?
I started my career actually as a photographer in Little Rock, Arkansas, within a year of graduating in 2000 from the university, and then moved to Chicago and had about a three-year stint there as a photographer, and realized how cold it was and that I needed to get back down south. And I loved New Orleans. I came to New Orleans when I was 19 years old and came back every year since.
That's how we capture everyone. It's New Orleans. We just get you down here and be like, no, just come visit. It's fine.
And it was something random, like the Tennessee Williams Festival. Mm. Fell in love and came back for Jazz Fest, for Halloween, for Mardi Gras, constantly. Jazz Fest a lot because I was photographing blues musicians and musicians really early in my career. But then real quick.
Back it up.
One real quick. Five siblings in my family.
Yeah.
Three of us are professional photographers.
Oof.
So when I was in Little Rock, I was working for my brother and as his like office manager.
Which brother?
Bob.
Okay.
And his office manager, and then, you know, second shooting with him. And so one of his clients moved to New Orleans and knew I was coming down to photograph Jazz Fest. So Krista asked me to photograph her first child at 6 months old because they lived in New Orleans, and we did it at City Park. And that's kind of like my, however old Liza is, that's how many years I've just like pivoted and put into business. And then she moved to Baton Rouge the next year, and she texted me and said, I know we're not in New Orleans anymore, but we're only an hour away. You can stay with us in between the weekends of Jazz Fest. I was like, heck yeah. And she goes, I'll get you more clients. And I had my dogs and she let me bring my dogs. Like, it was so great.
In case you haven't noticed, she likes dogs.
I love my dogs.
They're kind of her thing. So,
yes.
Yeah.
When I moved from Little Rock to Chicago, I was not working for a brother, but then I was working with my brother, Chris, and then realized, you know, something was itching me to be a solopreneur.
And had you been to Baton Rouge when she mentioned this opportunity?
No, it's my first time to Baton Rouge.
It was your first visit here.
And she got me like four or five people.
Wow.
In that week's time. It was great. But one of those people, Mitzi, was very pivotal in this whole story. What Mitzi then called me the next year and was like, I still want you to photograph my babies. You can come and stay with me. Again, with my dogs. Her husband was like, the photographer staying with us? Like, I was in 2006. And fast forward, they are still my best friends. And then in February of 2007, I called Mitz up and I said, do you think I will make it in Baton Rouge as a photographer? I really want to get back down to South, and specifically to Louisiana, because I love New Orleans so much. But that was right after Katrina happened. Being a single woman, starting a business, Baton Rouge was a secure location, and then having Mitz as a little bit of a comfort security blanket. And that woman went to town for me. She referred all of her friends to me. She got me connected with people to network with. she was a gem when she lived here. She's still a gem, but she really was just a giving person. I couldn't have been luckier. So that's kind of how I got here.
And nowadays you're playing that part for other people. You're the Mitzi for other people's
creative energy. Yeah, totally. And I saw the value that Mitzi was giving me and pretty much allowed her to just take it and run. And as a entrepreneur, as a creative, as a person who cannot work for corporate setting or for anybody, it's just interesting because I can't have one boss, but I pretty much have 300 and so bosses that are the coolest damn bosses you could ever ask for.
Totally let you crash on their couch.
Totally
let me crash. Eat all their food.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yes, as soon as we meet, it's a good possibility that you're not going to get rid of me.
That you're stuck with me for
right?
life.
And I'm also seeing that with the creative coaching and mentoring that I've done. I mean, right. My interns, that's like as soon as I moved here, I went to the fine art photography department at LSU and I asked them to send me people. And they were a little leery because I was a wedding and portrait photographer.
Pause you there. What is the difference between a portrait and wedding photographer versus a music photographer versus, you know, all the other different styles you just mentioned?
There's different types of portraits you can take.
Okay.
There's different types of ways you can photograph a wedding. You know, nowadays, a lot of photographers will start, you know, while the clients are getting ready. There's one with the guys and it's a team and it's a documentary. It's telling the entire day.
Mm.
I have even taken it one step further where I want to tell the entire love story. So, there's engagements, bridal portraits of the bride alone in a dress. That's a very valuable portrait to have in the South, especially is the bridal portrait. But also like when we're doing the engagement sessions, I really want to push my clients to let's go to your first date or where you first met.
Aww.
Or
yeah,
you fell in love at the tailgate. Let's go.
Yeah.
What I decided to do is like in music photography, you can't stop and pose the people. Hey, can you go by that window and do that same cute kiss? Like,
right,
no.
Right.
Like they're in it telling their story in a space, you know, that spontaneous being proactive, being instinctive. Mm-hmm. I bring that into my portraits. And it's interesting because as I'm talking about all of this, you know, all of that of what I have done in creating my style and being who I am as a photographer is also how I mentor.
Mm-hmm.
If we are in a groove and we have a goal and something happens over here on the side, I have a process to like record that, put it down, and either come back to it later. And I'm open and I'm willing and I'm really good at seeing the whole picture.
Yeah.
But also being able to stay focused in what is happening at the hand, which is completely how I run a portrait.
Yeah.
It's completely how I flow through weddings. So
one of the things that you mentioned that really caught my attention was you said my team. I'll have somebody over here doing this and somebody over here doing that. I think a lot of people don't realize how they see a name. They see Jen Okin and they assume it's just you. But you have a whole roster of people that you work with.
Yeah. Yes. And they all have their own talents. It's really important that I empower them to give us those talents because that's why I hired them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like what they can produce. I like how they work with people. I like how they interact with me. That's all very important. And, you know, we kind of got off of it. But the people that I hired when I moved down here in 2007 as interns and photographers, they're still really close to me. If I needed a backup, James, who was my very first second photographer, would come and shoot a wedding for me if I needed him.
Yeah.
My first intern, Josh, still my second photographer. Mm-hmm. And that was in 2007. There's so many people that have come through my office as interns that are out doing their own and they're still coming back and we're still having these Thrive talks. We're still talking through things. I mean, and now that they have some like experience under their belt, they're showing me some shit.
Right.
And that's like full circle. That is what I wanted. Last time, it's last wedding I was doing with Hillary. She was just kind of disappointed that she's getting busy in her own business. She said to me, she goes, I'm sad because I can't say yes to you all the time. And I said, well, Hillary, that's always been the goal.
Right.
You got to fly. You got to spread those wings.
Yeah. And that's what's different, I think, about you that most people are not really sure if it's genuine at first because it's so unfamiliar. You never talk about competition. No. You never talk about like, oh, I don't want you to succeed because then it might take away from me. Whereas we're kind of built in this culture of limited resources. We tend to think within a mindset of limited resources.
Well, that's a marketing tactic.
Yeah.
If things are limited, I have the answer. So buy what I need.
Right. Even though you will tell people all day long, I'm a capitalist.
You know? Oh, yeah. You got to be. Is it valuable? Is it valuable? Is your time valuable?
Yeah.
Or is there something that you like to do as much or more that's going to make you money, even if it's not making you money now?
It's a complete shift of mindset, though. The two things are not exclusive. They are separate from each other, but we've been kind of trained to believe that a capitalist mindset has to be a...
You have to work hard and do something you don't like in order to make money because it's easy.
Right.
It's easy. And I put that in quotation
right. And if anybody
marks.
Else does it, they're your competition and they're not to be trusted and you can't work with them. And, you know, it's very much a me or them mindset, but you completely flip that on its head and you have taken the model of I'm going to cultivate people. So can you explain what cultivate means to you?
Well, in this instance, cultivating people in my industry, especially in the photography industry, is I'm going to teach them how to not suffer. They don't have to suffer or work hard or work harder, especially at the beginning, to validate who they are.
God, we'd love to make ourselves suffer, don't we, though?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we tend to not believe in a thing until we feel like we have paid a price for it, you know?
The only person that can put that price or cap it is yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as I got out of that mindset, faking it till you make it, got out of that mindset.
Yes.
Having to be tired for validation, getting out of that mindset. Don't get me wrong. I can say that it's not worth it because I've gone through it.
True.
I don't feel like anybody has to or should go through it. And I don't want them to. I want them to understand that everything that they have done, which is so different than what I have done, but everything that they have done in their experiences, even as a child, or relationships that they've had, or failures that they've gone through, or even successes that they no longer utilize, they're all a part of these the greater experiences that are supporting and cultivating what it is you want to do, which is you have a passion for something. And I've always said, if you have a passion for something, then it is worth way more than if you just have experience or education.
Yeah.
Or
agreed.
You got to have that passion. You should be paid because I love it. You know, the biggest thing that makes me laugh is when musicians say, I would play for you for free, but they can't. They can't.
Right.
They got to pay utilities.
Sure.
They got to live. They got to put food in their mouth.
They got to buy equipment.
They got to buy equipment.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to be sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, let's reword that. No, I love this so much that you are going to get so much of me that I'm worth paying what it is. The way I make people feel, it drives me as a musician. And in turn, they get even more of me.
Mm-hmm.
The value and the relationship between the people listening and the people playing it just explodes. That's when you have these like amazing concerts, those unforgettable concerts. We all have them.
Oh, yeah.
Like the fact that it's still with you, that's why musicians charge as much as they do.
Creative people get exploited so badly.
Especially early on
because they feel like they should suffer, one. So they already believe.
Yeah, they don't have enough experience.
Right. They already believe that they shouldn't get what they're going to get. You know, they already feel like they're doing something, like they're taking, I guess.
Oh, yeah. There's a guilt to it, an imposter. Like, I shouldn't be getting paid for something I like so much.
And there's something in our modern society that is built around this principle or this idea that if I actually like or enjoy what I do, then it's not real work. The only thing that's worth it.
Well, that's the prison that corporate America has put us in so that they can keep us there.
Right.
And And that's a whole nother conversation. But that I want people to know that.
Yeah.
That's where that has come from. Mm-hmm. And if you can't do corporate, you do not have to bring corporate into your mindset.
Right. And that's not to say that corporate jobs, there aren't some people aren't right for corporate jobs.
There are people that thrive for it.
Correct.
But I'm talking about the people that are hating their life.
Right.
And it's mostly because of their job.
This is something that I've heard you say, is that you shouldn't pay me less for my passion. You should pay me more.
Yeah.
I love that. for obvious reasons. But
because I've said it to her on countless times.
Because she's still trying to convince me. No. But what else I love is the fact that we tend to think that math is a bad thing or a hard thing, right?
As a culture, as a society.
Okay. We think math is hard. And so any job that has math relative to it is a hard job and those people don't actually like it. But I guarantee you there are people who love numbers as much as you love photography, as much as I love writing, as much as anyone loves anything. So should they automatically be paid less because they're enjoying numbers? Or is it just that as a society, we've agreed that numbers are hard for some people, so the people who can do it should get paid more? What sense does that make?
It doesn't. The sense of it all, I guess, is that there's a parallel that says, do what you love, mm-hmm. and what you love will pay it back to you.
Yeah.
And the idea behind it is that when I let go of having to run all the layers of my businesses, mm-hmm. and I gave the stuff that people love to do that I don't like to do, but people love to do to them.
Yeah.
I exploded.
Yeah.
It's that passion, throwing passion into the fire, throwing fuel into the fire to create a bigger flame. The passion, the fuel that numbers person is utilizing to help me mm-hmm. move through my business stuff.
Right.
And the passion that I'm using to create is just creating a bigger, and we're both becoming sustainable.
Right.
We're both creating sustainability for one another.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
they might not be paying me, but what they are giving me, I appreciate because now I don't have to do it.
Right. Right.
And I don't mind it because I had to do it. But when I had to do it, there were mistakes and it had to be done last minute.
Yeah. You can't do everything on your own. You cannot do it.
You can't.
You have to have a team. So I think that's basically what we're going to be looking at talking about this entire podcast series, is how to add that fuel to the fire, how to build that fire, how to cultivate that fire.
Cultivating the fire, cultivating what it is you bring to the table that is beyond. Yeah. Well, it's beyond what you do for a living. Because what I am and who I am as a photographer is much more than my ability to take a great photo. The way my style is, the way that I coach people, the way that I cultivated the Front Porch Project, I took an idea and pivoted during a really hard time. All of those things all came from experiences that happened to me when I was in high school, when I was in college, when I was first starting off my business. All of those built on each other to create this foundation. Now, don't get me wrong, I also had an education that was a marketing business, sure. administrative,
well, yeah.
education, a foundation in that too. And I've actually built that course out and want to give it to people.
Right.
I don't necessarily need to coach people through it, but I believe in it. And I think everybody who is starting out doing their own entrepreneur, solopreneur, womanpreneur, badasspreneur, whatever you want to call it, creativepreneur, they need to have that foundation.
Now I just like the word preneur.
Preneur.
I would like to be a multifaceted preneur. Thank you.
This is why you are my producer.
Oh,
Sam.
I thank you. Thank you very much. I am your preneur.
Producer preneur.
Glad to help.
But yeah, like there's a lot of things that set me up for success and daily success and overall success. And I have them all and I want to give them all to people.
Keep cultivating.
Right. Well, the thing about it is all my courses, all my steps, all my like tricks that I use on a reg, and then also the business foundation, the like longer course, I want to give that to everybody.
Right.
When you come to me as me being your mentor or me doing some consultation coaching, I guess, for lack of a better word. I'm going to hold your hand through the process. I'm going to evaluate where you're at. I'm going to hear you. I'm going to ask some questions, probably a lot of questions. I was having this one-on-one and she was just talking. And the way she was talking, she was just kind of hounding in on experiences that weren't uplifting to her.
Oh.
I was asking questions and asking questions. And the coolest thing was I was holding her hand without her knowing I was holding her hand. Aww. I said, but you keep saying all of this stuff. Why are you saying it? She goes, I guess because I need to keep giving it life. Why do I need to keep giving it life? And I was like, exactly. How can you change your speech? Clicked with her. But it was the best because she said it. And then I called it out. I knew you needed to hear it from you for it to really drive home. Because that was one of the burnouts from 2018 when I was doing Thrive. I was shoving things down people's throat. And there was a lot of trauma that comes behind that when you do that.
Yeah.
You gotta be mindful of triggers, of where they're at, what they're ready to hear. And sometimes if I don't know, I'll straight up be like, do you want to go here? And I can tell if they change the subject. It's a no. It's a hard no without them even having to tell me no.
Without giving me too many details, could you please tell me? No. That's a throwback. Right. That's a throwback to a joke y'all don't know yet. But, you know, maybe one day you will.
Come out in one of these podcasts.
Yeah, one of these days.
It's a cool parallel to see how I am evolving and taking, you know, what I learned and how I cultivate my photography
right.
business and how I've mentored other photographers
yeah.
through internships, but now people coming at me and just asking me, working with me through advice or through concepts or through perceptions. It's really no ABC 1, 2, 3.
Absolutely not.
It never has been.
And that's a problem with most of the, I guess you could say, programs that you see out there or guides or tutorials or something like that. They always want to say, do this to get this or, you know, and give you a manual.
They're feeding into this need for relationships and the lack. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
That's so
what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, right. I don't do these five things.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. I need to do these five things in order. But
right.
I've got caught into that and I have gotten some really good information out of it. But that's one of my biggest lessons. I have this whole series that I need to show you. There are 11 lessons learned and I did them back in 2018, but they're still very valuable. And one of them is what's resonating with you. If it doesn't resonate with you, you probably don't need it to be successful or to cultivate your passion and live a life of purpose. And
right.
that's okay because what works for me might not work for you, but I want to tell you, I have experienced so many years. I mean, I'm going on 20 years
yeah.
of being a entrepreneur.
Right.
And doing multitude of projects and processes, teaching this stuff and starting Thrive in 2018 and burning out and falling flat, knowing I wanted to recultivate it, but it wasn't a time. And we'll get into that with the podcast of totally. How that actually happened. Because that, Sam, was, you are pivotal in
thank you very
making
much.
Me yes. understand why now is such a good time to bring
I'm
Thrive
a preneur. Sorry.
Why it's such a great time to bring
yeah.
Thrive Talk back into
right.
existence for me and how it's going to fuel and
yeah.
cultivate even more inside of me.
On that note, and I think it should be the parting thought for today, is what we're doing now with this podcast is very authentic to you and your life. We are in your living room, literally. We are sitting with the dogs coming in and out. You will hear noises of, and you know,
and
other
bouncing balls
and bouncing and balls
tug
and tug of wars and things. It, you know, the point is authenticity because the first time you did it, you were more or less. I'm going to share my insight.
Oh, this was a beautiful insight. It really hit me home. It didn't hit hard, it hit me really in the heart.
So when I started watching the videos from the first version of Thrive to get an idea of what you were doing, I told her, I said, it looked more like you were doing an impersonation of you than you yourself.
Oh my God, this is Jen. Welcome to Thrive Talk.
And if you've ever watched anything involving one of these, you know, coaches or influencers or anything like that, that's what it feels like. It feels like somebody's doing an impersonation of a put together person.
Not everybody. There are some very authentic people.
Okay. That's the difference, is when there's authenticity to it, it feels comfortable. It feels like it's part of.
It was very inauthentic. Right. And I was trying, and I'm here, I am teaching a very authentic process, and God, you nailed it, man. When you said that, I was like, oh yes, that is right here in my heart. I felt it. I wasn't mad. It just almost was affirmation for me. It just affirmed the idea that I had to let it go.
Right.
And I was hanging on to it for a long time. And I mean, even just this morning when we were working on the website, I was like, man, did I create a lot of content back then.
It's hard to let go of anything you create, especially when you create a massive amount of something.
And I am very passionate about empowering other people. I want people to be, I would just want to see people succeed.
You really are. I mean, for the longest time, I was like, is she for real? She's for real, y'all. She really wants y'all to succeed, and she really wants the people around her to succeed. So
I do. Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome, Jen.
This feels great.
Well, it's a little bit of therapy for your Tuesday afternoon.
It very much is. High five.
High five. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up now while we're feeling all the feel goods. Have a lovely, lovely day.
Thrive Talk is produced by me, Samantha Morgan. The music you hear was created by Cindy Wonderful. Yes, that is her real last name. To access free resources, log on to Jen Oaken's website at jennocken.com. That's jennocken.com. Or you can go directly to jennocken.com/thrivetalk. Now that's thrive without the E. So it's thrivetalk. If you found value from this episode, tell a friend. And if you have a moment, leave us a review. Tell us what you think.